Looking forward to our fellowship meal that we're having today. There's nothing quite like a church fellowship meal, potluck, when we all have our greatest cooks on the planet are right here. And we're going to eat that across the street when we're finished. And there's always plenty, so be sure and stay for that. We're having Monday night for the Master tomorrow night. During the summertime, we only have one per month, so that will be our one for the month of June. I know we have something for everyone at Monday Night for the Master, so if you did not sign up but you're able to come, go ahead. You just come, for starters. But if you want to fill out a green card, you can hand that to me when we're finished this morning. But we're looking forward to tomorrow night. We have a number of things we need to get done, and we can use all the helpers we can get. During this month, we are going to be talking about overcoming. And we have a series that we'll have three sermons on being overcomers and facing some of the most difficult things in life that we face, the most difficult challenges. Today we're going to talk about illness. Next week we'll talk about overcoming grief. And then we'll have Father's Day. And then the last Sunday of the month we will talk about overcoming mental and emotional struggles. And so when it comes to talking about illness, there's nothing quite like illness to test your faith, to cause you to struggle, to bring you to your knees. There's nothing quite like it that has the power to shake you to the core. And I know some of you are like me and some of you are just tough, but if you're like me, when you get a little, you know, sometimes I'll get allergies and they kind of turn into an upper respiratory and I'm down for a few days, 4 or 5 days, and I feel like I have the plague. I mean, I think I'm dying. And I know it's not much, but to me it feels like much. And we're going to talk about major illness this morning, but I also want to talk about just the things that I know we have people home this morning who are sick today. Some of them are watching, but they're sick today. And they may not be sick in a week, but it's still significant today. Illness takes us down, and it is a struggle. And God wants to strengthen us during those struggles, and at the same time, remember when facing illness, or if you know someone struggling with illness, the devil is attacking them also. When we get weak physically, the devil knows that we can also be weak spiritually, and he will come, and he'll come strong for us. We may ask the question, we may wonder, where is God in all this? If I'm struggling with major illness or I've had something major come upon me, maybe cancer, of course, is a big one, but maybe some condition that I'm suffering with and the doctors don't know the solution yet. Or maybe it's a condition, maybe it's chronic pain of some kind of chronic illness we're suffering with, that it's not going to go away. I'm always going to fight this. And we may wonder, where's God? Doesn't God have the power over this? Does God care about my struggles with the flesh? Matthew 4:23 is a scripture that encapsulates what we find all through the Gospels. When you think of Jesus, when you read through the Gospels, what is Jesus doing? It says he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. We don't have to ask the question, does Jesus care? You know, does God care that I'm sick? Does God care that I'm ill? Because Scripture tells us and shows us absolutely God cares. We have a picture of Jesus in the flesh, and he healed because he cared about those who were sick, those who were struggling. Flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I want to take a brief look at an occasion where Jesus healed. In Luke chapter 8, you remember the time that Jesus went to the Gerasenes, and he cast out demons of a man. He spoke to the demon before he cast him out. The demon said his name was Legion, because we are many. That's the one where no one could contain this man. The demons tortured this man. Jesus came, cast those demons out. They begged him, don't send us you know, send us into the pigs. And Jesus did. Remember the pigs, they ran off the cliff and died. Jesus had just performed this miracle. He's coming back. People are around him. There's a man named Jairus who comes and begs Jesus because his 12-year-old daughter is dying. And he begs Jesus to come and heal her. And Jesus is going with this man to heal his daughter. And in Luke 8:43, Jesus comes and there are people all around him. People pressing around Jesus because he's performing miracles, he's teaching, they're all with him. And a woman comes. And it says that she had an issue of blood. She had been chronic bleeding for 12 years. She has an illness that's not going away. She had spent all her money on doctors, and none could heal her. So you stop and think, what must it have been like for this woman? Well, one thing we know is she doesn't feel good. When you're sick, you don't feel good. And that's a struggle. We know that this woman had limitations. Because of her chronic bleeding, one thing in their culture, and at that time as a Jewish woman, she would be unclean continually. She would not be able to go to the temple. She would not be able to participate in religious activities as other women could. The illness limits you. With illness comes limitations, right? There are things you can't do anymore, or you can't do while you're ill. And if you never recover fully, you'll never be able to do again certain things. And that's difficult. This woman dealt with that. She dealt with financial exhaustion. Typically, when we face major illness, we also face major financial crisis. They come together, don't they? We do live in a nation where we're blessed with the greatest medical care in the world, and if not, it's pretty close to the greatest that's available to us. We pay a high price for it. It's a double-edged sword. But when our family members in this church family face major illness, they're also facing financial struggles. This woman faced financial exhaustion. She had spent all she had on doctors. And so, do you think she worried? Do you think she felt despair? She comes to Jesus. She's hanging on by a thread. And if you've ever dealt with major illness, or if you are right now, you understand what it means to hang on by a thread. But she had not lost one thing. And it's a very important and powerful thing. And I want us to think about three things Jesus gives us when overcoming trials. This woman had not lost hope, right? She comes to Jesus. She had not lost hope. Jesus was her hope. And she had her hope in the right place. And it's a reminder for us, God, He knows we're going to face trials. He's told us that. But He also wants us to know when we face trials, there's always hope. Because there's always Jesus. There's always God. There's always hope. And we can't lose that. When you lose hope, you have despair. And I think that is the worst. You'd have to come and convince me otherwise. Hope is a powerful thing. This woman, verse 44, she came behind him, touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And she knew it. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see that it says that she said to herself, here's her mindset when she's approaching Jesus, if I only touch his garment. You talk about faith. Her faith was so strong, she thought, you know, I don't even have to beg him. I don't have to have Jesus. It's not like he's going to decline me or refuse me. I don't have to even explain my illness to him. I just have to get to him and touch his garment. And she was right. Because Jesus knows that someone was healed. It's really it's odd to me, this moment where Jesus turns to the crowd and says, you know, who touched me? And his disciples, Peter speaks up and says, Master, everybody's touching you. I mean, there was such a... I try to imagine in our culture, we have personal space. And so I have a little difficulty imagining this. I don't even know if I've been in a situation like this. It would freak me out, I'm sure. But when you're... Maybe some teen activity where we're all... You know, everybody grab hands, now untangle. Right? When you have about 12 of you doing that. This was a mob type scene. And verse 47, the woman came to Jesus. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. Maybe she was frightened. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had been touched by, why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Second thing we have to remember is Jesus. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our healer. Now Jesus, God may do it a variety of means. God may do it through medicine. God may do it through medical care. That's why when we have loved ones in the hospital, in particular undergoing surgery, we pray for God to be with them. We'll pray for the doctors and the nurses and the medicine. And what man doesn't know, we pray that God will provide it, because we know God made the medicine. God made the procedures that save us and provide us greater health. And we know God's our healer. Jesus is. He gets the credit. We don't dare think, "God, I dodged a bullet. I don't need you on this one. I'm okay. I got some good medicine." We know good and well we bow at the throne of the Almighty because He answers our prayers. Prayer is powerful. And when you're facing the crisis of physical illness, prayer is priceless. And the prayer of our church family is priceless. What if God doesn't take it away? What if Jesus doesn't take it away? We know in 2 Corinthians, we have a number of places in the Bible where God doesn't take it away. He still helps, but He doesn't remove it. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he came to God, came and prayed about it three times. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Three times he says he pleaded with God. And so we may not know much about this. In fact, we don't even know what the problem was. I think it was some illness. Some speculate it was Paul's eyesight declining. Whatever it was, we know it was painful. We know it was chronic. It didn't go away. And we know Paul thought God could remove it, and rightfully so. And we know Paul begs for it three times. And God declines. And God's answer is that His power is made perfect in our weakness, and that God's grace is sufficient. There are times that God calms the storm in our life, and whatever is causing us suffering, God calms it or solves it. And there are other times God lets the storm rage and He calms the child in the storm. And this is the... we'll look at a scripture in a moment. This is the peace that God provides. But in that sense, when we're facing illness, it may not go away. God may not answer our prayer, which is, "God, just take it away. Just get it out." And God may not answer that the way we ask. But God strengthens us on the journey. And on the journey, we have to trust that God is saying to us, "This is a better way. It's a better way." And I know I haven't faced major illness, but I know enough about me and suffering that I know this. My flesh would cry out, "Take it away." But my spirit would whisper to me, "God knows. God knows. God's right. He's right." The spiritual side of me would trust God, but the physical side would buck against it. And that's part of the struggle. But Jesus is our help. He didn't remove Job's ailments. Remember how the devil struck down Job and God didn't remove that right away? He didn't save King David. David, when he was fleeing from King Saul, David was fleeing and running for his life for years. And God didn't save him right away. God didn't promise that He would take all the struggles away from the Christian, but He promised He would strengthen the Christian in the midst of the struggles. Philippians 4:6, one of my favorite scriptures. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you've ever been in the midst of a trial and you experience God's peace, it is amazing. When you know on the outside, I should be really broken right now, but on the inside, you feel a peace that you cannot explain. You say it doesn't make sense, but you trust and know it's from God. And I've experienced that. And if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing quite as humbling and powerful and amazing as feeling God's peace in the middle of a storm. But this is what God wants to provide for us. In times that He doesn't remove our illness. But that doesn't mean we don't pray that God does. We don't have to go very far in our church to find examples of overcomers of illness, major illness. I'm excited that Mark's here this morning.
Me too.
Amen. I'm excited that Johnny O'Dell's here this morning. And I can go on and list your names. And I want to make a quick point about that, because I know for those who face major illness that there's an element about it that they give glory to God for any good He's done with their life, okay? But at the same time, they also wish that they could just be Johnny. They could just be Mark. They could just, right? Not be the one who has the major illness. Or that's not always attached to them and their identity. And I just want to make that point. I think it's important. We care about them. We love them. But we're all the same. We just want to live our life. But we're going to honor God no matter what road He takes us on. Amen. We have a number of living examples of this. And we have one that I have a video I want to show you in a moment. And before I do, it's about Carol Golightly. And in talking with Carol, one thing she mentioned I want to point out before I even show a video is she mentioned that the trial she went through with physical illness is not as bad as many have experienced. Hers wasn't as bad in the past year. But it's still a trial. And it's still an example. And I want to hold her up. I cannot speak for major illness myself, but I want you to hear Carol's words on this. And so,
recently, I had a chance to visit with Carol Golightly. In June of 2016, she was told she needed to have her gallbladder removed. But come to find out, after test results came in, she was informed that she, in fact, had pancreatic cancer. This is her story.
Well, my doctor came in and got right down by my face and told me that I had a malignant tumor in my pancreas, but God put it where He could take care of it. So that was, I didn't worry. It was a blessing to know He was a believer. You know,
your doctor?
Yes.
Carrie, what was it like for you when you first heard that your mother had pancreatic cancer?
It was kind of surreal. I thought it was the gallbladder, and it went from the gallbladder to, you know, cancer. So it just was, to actually hear, I did okay calling Sherry, and it was when I called my brother that I kind of lost it a little bit.
What was the hardest part for you?
I think one of the hardest things for me was, she's always been so active and so going and doing, and she just, it slowed her down, you know, and I think I kind of mourned for the way she was. I watched her lay in that hospital bed, and here she's dealing with having pancreatic cancer, and it was not a nurse or a nurse tech that came in. She wasn't asking to be a church family. So it made me realize that it didn't matter in what situation, just like Paul talks about, you're still running the race. Even if you might be limping, but you're still running the race.
What advice would you give someone facing illness or trial like this, having gone where you go?
I would say, turn it over to God. He's the one that's in control. Anyway, and it's not easy to do that, but you know that everything belongs to Him. Let him take care of it.
The love of your church family, don't go alone. You don't have to go alone. Christ says we're to bear each other's burdens, and when you let people help you or go through that journey with you, not only are you healed by physical, but you're healed spiritually, and you grow exponentially with your church family.
During the time I spent with Carol, I became inspired by her faith and her trusting God during such a difficult time in her life. She gives us a great example of how to keep running the race, honoring God, and relying on His strength. She kept her joy for living, which is so contagious. Carol is an overcomer.
You come to my rescue. Yeah. You come to my rescue.
One thing that Carol mentioned to me in talking about all that, one thing you heard her say was, give it over to God. He's the one in control anyway. Yeah. That's kind of an interesting thought, how we worry and fret and struggle. Our flesh does, but our mind has to remind us God's the one in control anyway. I love Carol's faith. Unwavering faith. If I face major illness, I want to have that faith that says, God, whatever happens. I mean, I was in your hands anyway. When I was healthy, I was in your hands. And I'm definitely in your hands now. I love the part about running the race. You might be limping, but you're still running the race. And that's a great example. If you face a trial of illness, the kingdom still needs you, right? God still needs your voice speaking about how great He is. And then one thing that was mentioned was the strength of our church family. The devil wants to take you and put you at home and keep you at home for whatever reason, illness or otherwise. That's where the devil wants you. That's where the devil wants us. And we have to remember how much we need our church family and how much our church family wants to help. Carrie mentioned the blessing it was that Brenda Kelly came. There was a time in there, in the hospital, when Brenda came and stayed with Carol, and it was such a blessing because Carol needed that, and a family member, you're going to act different when you're the one who's ill with a family member. And my point is, as a church family, the things you do for someone who's struggling with illness are priceless. And that's part of why God wants us so tightly knit together. We're going to sing a song, Victory in Jesus. And it reminds us, this is our scripture reading today. And the song is about this. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. God wants us to be victorious. Not because we're strong enough, but because He's strong enough. So next week we'll talk about overcoming grief. A couple weeks after that, anxiety, depression, those type of struggles. And so be praying about this, be inviting people, and be leaning on God. We're going to sing a song. If you'd stand with me, we're going to sing a song of encouragement, Victory in Jesus. You may have something you're struggling with right now. You may need prayers right now. We'd love to do that. There may be someone here this morning that wants to give their life to Christ and have their sins washed away and have the greatest victory in Jesus. If there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
I have an old, old story, how Satan came from glory, how his life. Punch me to victory beneath the